aimed on unnamed militants from the volatile southern region. For more news and analysis, log on to IRNUSANews.com.
Have a party, wedding, graduation, summer reunion, backyard birthday, or backyard get-together to plan. We'll make sure that occasion is extra special and find all of your party needs at Grand Rental Station. Don't go anywhere else for your canopies, chairs, tables, bounce houses, and duck tanks. Grand Rental Station has it all. When planning your next event, be sure to add Grand Rental Station staff of expert consultants to your list for the very best in service and advice. Call your local Grand Rental Station now at 970-532-0144 in Johnstown. The very place for everything to rent. That's Grand Rental Station, 970-532-0144.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more, because you've found Bio Superfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural Bio Superfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116.
You're listening to The Lion, 10,000 watts, KHNC, 1360 AM, Johnstown, Denver.
Well, I'm Stan Beck here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning is Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. Good morning, Joel. How are you?
I'm just fine, Dr. Stan. It's always good to be with you here on a Friday morning.
All right, fine. What are we going to be talking about today, Ed?
Well, we're going to be talking about a major story for the World Affairs Brief is on my analysis of false flag terrorism and agent provocateurs. For many decades now, there has existed a pattern of governments using presumed foreign terrorists under their own control to attack civilians or military targets in order to provoke and justify waging war against a new enemy that is falsely blamed for the attack. And that's what a false flag operation is. It's a covert operation designed to deceive the public in such a way that the operation appears as though they are being carried out by other entities than our own government. The name is derived from the military concept in the 1800s, actually even before then, 15 and 1600s, even pirate ships used to carry false flags of different countries so they could hoist a flag and then approach a ship thinking that it was an ally, and then they'd raise the Jolly Roger and open fire. So that's what's called false flag operations. A related tactic is hiring a group of agent provocateurs to infiltrate a targeted group for a group that is targeted for destruction and induce radical elements of that group to perform crimes which will justify retaliation by the government against that group or the arrest. And with the sudden surge in claimed terrorism in Russia and the arrest of the radical Huttery group in the U.S., it's helpful to analyze these kinds of operations as they have been played out historically. You know, Stan, the public has a very short memory. Many of these false flag type operations do come out, you know, briefly and back pages of the newspaper, but the public doesn't remember, and so you have to remind them every time a new one happens that this is a pattern developed in government that we have to keep analyzing.
Well, we've seen this time and time again. I mean, when Genovino came out against the Christian Identity Movement, they were a real threat to America, because the leading Christian Identity Movement outlet was a place called Elohim City, and the fellow who was running it was an FBI informant. In fact, almost everybody we know who was there worked for one or another branch of the government. And we saw this with the Aryan Brotherhood out there robbing banks. And they were funded by the FBI, the militia movement. It was around a decade and a half ago. It was funded by the FBI. Even the communist movement here in the United States was largely funded by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Many of the bombings that took place in Europe under the Red Brigade were actually intelligence operations. The head of the Irish Republican Army, the number two man in that organization that was setting out bombs in London and killing people in London, the Irish Republican Army, number two man, was a communist agent, their chief enforcer.
British agent.
Beg your pardon?
British agent, not communist agent.
Right. But the number two man of the Irish Republican Army was a British agent. The fellow was in charge of the enforcing security for the Irish Republican Army. He was actually torturing people to death, accusing them of being British agents. He himself was a British agent. This is how things really work, and the average American has no idea.
Yes, and as we turn to the Russian subway attacks, these attacks suspiciously come on the heels of widespread public protests and demonstrations in Moscow expressing dissatisfaction with the regime of Vladimir Putin. Now, it isn't really a principled demonstration against him for the right reasons. It's because they're not getting the same benefits that they were promised. Russia's a very benefit-corrupted society after many, many years of communism. But there's no better way to divert such discontent than to create a false threat of a nation under attack. Not only does this provoke an unthinking form of patriotism and nationalism, which is very easy to do in Russia. They have the concept of Mother Russia and, you know, the harking back to the days of the threat from Hitler. But it places a chilling stigma upon anyone who dares to criticize the government when it claims to be vigorously fighting terrorism. The U.S. government used the same tactic of hiding behind the flag of patriotism to quell criticism about its cover-up surrounding the 9/11 investigation. However, the Russian government was not successful in using this to curb anti-government criticism in the recent problem. As the Washington Post headline pointed out, it said, Russian grief turns to anger towards leaders as the people reacted to the government not protecting them from terror. Well, the subway attack by women suicide bombers in Moscow was followed 2 days later by bombs exploding in a small town in Dagestan. Chechen rebel leader Doku Umarov claimed responsibility for Monday's double suicide bombings in Moscow, in the Moscow metro, which left 39 people dead. He said the twin attacks on the capital's underground system, which killed 39 people, were revenge attacks for a gun battle in February in Ingushetia, where both insurgents and civilians were killed by the Russians. Now, this, too, has to be taken with the same grain of salt as all the bogus Osama bin Laden videos that keep surfacing claiming responsibility for all kinds of terrorism. Expert analysis showed that there are several lookalikes of bin Laden making these videos and that it wasn't the same person. High-level sources in Pakistan, including the late Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto, claimed that bin Laden had died several years ago from kidney failure, and I believe them. I think keeping the mythical existence of bin Laden alive is very useful for covert operations promulgating the phony war on terror. Now, I am not saying that the admission of Doku Umarov in a video recording is someone other than himself. What we have to do is consider whether or not Doku Umarov is, in fact, an agent provocateur working for the Russians, for, faking being an opposition leader, or whether he is the real thing, and I'll cover that in a few minutes. But the Chechens are a convenient source of false flag operations for the Russian FSB, formerly KGB. Chechen rebels have been fighting Russian occupation for generations, and it's well known in Chechen circles that Russian secret services have created dozens of puppet presidents who feign opposition to Moscow to get elected, but as well as creating false separatist leaders that lure thousands of young rebels to fight.
We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
This is George Flynn of Words of Freedom. KHNC listeners are painfully aware of the forces that have brought our economy to the state it's in. We want financial advice from experts who understand what's really going on. The iMoneyCoach.com team has put all the knowledge they use to coach successful people and businesses into a 10-course training program for only a fraction of the cost. Thousands of dollars of training materials and videos for under $200. At iMoneyCoach.com, you'll get the knowledge you need to change your life for the better. iMoneyCoach.com.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Well, Dr. Stan, here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen, and Joel is talking about this recent bombing of the subway in Russia and then in an adjacent town, and how very shortly after this, the leader of the Chechens comes out and said, yes, we did it. But is that logical? Why would you admit to of being responsible for a terrorist bombing that would kill an awful lot of people, knowing full well that that would turn the Russian people against your Chechen movement, a desire for independence from Russia? Would it be logical for them to come forward and claim responsibility for having done that, or would you pick up the story there, Joel?
Well, that's a very good question, because it's the same question that I have had. Civilian attacks are always detrimental to a freedom movement. You know, it's one thing to, when you're opposed to an occupation, to make direct attacks on occupation forces, which does have some sympathy from the people. But attacking civilians, innocent civilians, never helps the cause of anyone vying for freedom. It only antagonizes and turns the public against their cause. So I'm very skeptical when you have these kind of high-profile attacks and someone claiming responsibility, whether or not they're really working for the cause that they claim to cause. Now, clearly, Doka Umarov, has been subjected to a great deal of pressure from the Chechen regime, which is pro-Moscow. The leaders are always, put in that are under Moscow's control, just as in most of the former Soviet republics. Even the ones, for example, that proclaim to be pro-Western are often just faking it. Well, the Chechen authorities abducted the old brother of Doku Umarov and his father. The father died in their custody. I have to ask, was that a symbol or a signal? Was that kind of pressure something that turned Umarov to actually play along with them, to keep other family members? This is what a lot of people don't realize, that in Chechnya, they actually, for every youth that takes off to the mountains to join the opposition, they put tremendous pressure on the family. Sometimes they bulldoze the house of the family. They cut off all welfare benefits and state benefits to the family so that they can't get a job and they start to starve to death. They put a great deal of pressure on these people to make them pay for the those that fight against the regime. And But I'm very skeptical that Umarov, there have been false separatist leaders before, and he may well be another one, too, because I'm very susceptible. But going back to the history of false flag operations in Russia, these people are expert at this. I mean, even the phony or the fall of the Soviet Union is a carefully crafted deception. I mean, these people are masters of deceit, as J. Edgar Hoover wrote in his book. But the notorious FSB has a documented history of staging false flag events in order to accomplish political agendas. Vladimir Putin came to power as a result of SFB orchestrated terror in 1999, which involved blowing up apartment blocks all over Russia and blaming the attacks on Chechen separatists. This allowed Putin, as soon as he was established in power and Yeltsin appointed him as he stepped down, to start a war in Chechnya. But FSB agents were caught in the act of planting explosives underneath the apartment block in Ryuzhan. Records indicate that the first call the terrorists made after planting the bomb was back to FSB headquarters, and the culprits were allowed to flee the country by the authorities. I mean, just very obvious. Finally, the FSB admitted to planting the sacks of explosives, but later claimed that they contained sugar and were there as part of a drill to test security procedures. But witnesses said the explosives had all of the look, of course, of hexogen, which is kind of a yellowish, manufactured crystalline powder, not like sugar at all. And this is the same excuse that the authorities used in Oklahoma City bombing when they were seen by witnesses having the bomb squad go into the bottom of the building, going down into the basement of the Murrah building before the explosion. And there were bombs found around the perimeter of the building as well, photographed by Oklahoma television. Those were films were later forced to be retracted by the government. But fortunately, Alex Jones got copies of those before they were retracted. And you can still see it on some of his videos about Oklahoma City bombing. But they used the same excuse that we were having a drill. And they used those drills, of course, to cover for things. The government was using drills of attacking the Pentagon to cover for the 9/11 attacks that were going on. I mean, it's incredible how there's a pattern here that people ought to be able to see. Now, Alexander Litvinenko, the former SFB agent who was later poisoned in London by radioactive polonium and killed, he exposed how the Russian FSB was involved in terrorism, abductions, and contract killings in his book, Blowing Up Russia, Terror from Within, co-authored by Yuri Felshinsky, which I think you've interviewed, I believe.
Yes,
is that right?
Yes.
Well,
and of course, the interesting thing was he actually talked about how the FSB was responsible for blowing up the apartment buildings. That was the incredible thing, and that's why they killed him. I mean, when you are part of the intelligence organization that's attacking your own country and you write a book and expose it, they're going to kill you, and they did kill him. They're right there in London.
That's right. And they killed, a friend of Litvinenko's, one of the most famous investigative reporters in Moscow, who was under a hit job. Then there was the Beslan hostage crisis, in which there were over 300 men, women, and children killed. Another event that was blamed on Chechen terrorists, and yet witnesses explained that they didn't speak Chechen. They were speaking Russian. I mean, these were just people pretending to be. These terrorists had recently been released from FSB prison and allowed into the Beslan area. Well, why was that? I think that they were released from prison on condition that they carry out this terrorist attack, faking their identity as Chechens. There's a lot to the Beslan hostage story, but all of the fingers point to a false flag operation. There was also the shooting down of or the supposed placing of bombs, Chechens placing bombs aboard two Tupolev passenger airliners, but the indication of the debris field indicates that they were shot down rather than exploded by bombs. So basically, this is a real problem. for the Russian people to decipher, as well as Americans, especially when everyone in the news media puts forth the official point of view as if it is the only point of view. Now, moving on to the subject of agent provocateurs and the Hutterite cult, it's important to note that virtually every prosecution of so-called domestic terrorism in the past decade is owed to the infiltration of FBI informants into the groups. Now, while none of us in America dispute the need to infiltrate and inform on real threats to national security, we have to question the propriety of training and pressuring informants, most of which have been forced to accept the informant assignment in lieu of prison for some other crimes that they committed, to provoke and induce angry and unstable dissidents to commit, you know, acts of terror. All too often, the FBI informants have been pressured by superiors to go far beyond informing. They have provided weapons, explosives, even acted as the guiding hand to map out the strategy and tactics for performing the deed. These things only come out reluctantly during trial. Even then, I suspect that we're never allowed to know the full extent of these provocations and what goes on. I remember getting a call from someone who, claimed to be an FBI informant and wanted to give me certain information, and I started to probe him since he was from the Portland, Oregon area where I am from, and I started to probe him, well, how did you get to the Aryan Nations? He was, going to give me some information on the Aryan Nation. He says, well, I was caught with a parole violation by the FBI or the government. They turned me over to the feds, who gave me a choice of going back to prison or in infiltrating the Aryan Nations and acting as a an informant for them. And, of course, he was telling me that he had, in fact, engaged in provocations, which wasn't hard to do. I remember at one time when I was early on in the survival preparedness movement that I was asked by Pastor Richard Butler, I believe was his name, to come up to Aryan Nations and brief them on preparedness, do some consultation with them. And I walked into this place, and Pastor Butler was a nice enough guy, walked into their main office, and there were all these Nazi flags flying from the desk. And I turned to him and I said, what's going on here? I said, what are all these Nazi flags going? And, you claim to be a constitutional conservative Christian organization. And he says, well, National Socialism, is not a violation of any of those principles. And I said, really? Well, I got out of there as quick as I could. Now, obviously, this was a phony organization. Just no reason at all. Even if you, like the fact that Hitler fought against the communists, which Butler was, claiming to do, but nevertheless, to absorb National Socialism as if that was, a good thing was just a dead giveaway that this pastor was in fact working for the FBI as well. Well, even now, we are only just now discovering the presence of an FBI informer inside the Hutterite cult. His name is Thomas William Piatek, and the government wasn't willing to even indicate that he existed. He's one of the arrested ones, so they were playing along with a role that he was the enemy of the people when, in fact, he worked for them. There was a verbal slip by the prosecution, which let everyone realize, though, that this was a government informant. In fact, he's the only one in the lineup shots that is not in prison garb. So there was some subterfuge. But more and more now, it's becoming obvious from the testimony coming out of the bail hearings that, in fact, this guy was doing more than just informing. The Detroit News revealed, it said, a fellow member of the group, really an undercover federal agent, demonstrated a roadside bomb to the group. NBC New York reported that defense attorneys in the case argued in court the plot was hatched and directed by the federal informant. They said the informant badgered the defendants until they got involved in the plot. They said the informant chose the targets, supplied the fake bombs for the synagogues and the fake missile to shoot down planes. And the motion also said he offered to pay the defendants, who attorneys alleged weren't inclined towards any crime, until the informant began to recruit them. Now, this is, once again, clear entrapment, and much more than simply informing the people. Now, that said, after hearing even the statements that have been recorded, I'm convinced that these are radicals deserving of charges against them. Their record recorded slurs about attacking local cops just because they're cops indicates a criminal form of misplaced anger. It does not indicate a real patriotic motive, built out of growing anger against government tyranny that really does exist. We don't even know for sure that their presumed leaders are hired or real provocateurs. We must not forget that a prominent and sometimes radical pastor with a radio show named Hal Turner turned out to be an absolute beginning-to-end paid agent provocateur for the FBI and was deliberately inflaming people on the right to do violent acts. And then he was arrested by the FBI and prosecuted. I mean, this is just incredible. How anyone would trust the government to hire them as an agent provocateur and think that, the government would protect him if he got arrested for doing what they asked him to do. So it's a very interesting world, as you said. You know, it's not what it seems to be, Stan.
Well, I'll never forget seeing a Turner on YouTube, and you may still be able to get it up there, and he's showing you this little Amero coin and saying, yes, they're already minting the Amero, which is going to replace the dollar. And of course, this was put up by a private mint, and yet he was trying to convince everybody they're going to change our money. They've already got it all minted up, and he's a government agent putting out disinformation. Incredible.
Yeah, and he got the coin from a novelty store and was claiming, an insider from the mint was supplying him these things. Well, the insider from the mint ended up being the FBI, who was feeding him the information that he was supposed to falsely proffer before the American people.
Right.
Well, Scott Horton, who always has some very interesting commentary, well, we'll cover this after the break.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here at the American Freedom Now.
Listening to The Lion, 10,000 watts, KHNC 1360 AM, Johnstown, Denver.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
This is George Flynn of SelfDefenseGuns.com. Our concealed carry classes meet the training requirements to obtain a Colorado or Wyoming concealed carry permit, as well as non-resident Utah and Florida. We feel very strongly that ladies should exercise their right to carry and protect themselves and their loved ones. That's why our Annie Oakley special allows any student to bring a lady to our classes for free. Visit SelfDefenseGuns.com or call 970-622-2091. That's 970-622-2091.
The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsor's fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help. Jambalaya reminds listeners that each year many seniors are overlooked. Show how much you care this winter by offering a ride to a religious service, a trip shopping, or check and see if their heating system is up to par. Help protect our seniors and remember a senior today. That's Jambalaya's. Enjoy the specials listed on our complete menu. Open hours that are convenient, so stop by soon for a family treat. That's Jambalaya's, 109 Colorado Avenue in Marino. And mention this message for 10% off. Call ahead for large orders, 970-522-1117. Donna and staff love our elderly.
Well, I understand here at our computer network, I guess, this morning. Of course, it's Joel Scouse, and we're talking about Agent Provocateurs. Ladies and gentlemen, they're here. They're on the Internet. They're putting out false information. They're trying to discredit people who are doing a good job within the conservative movement and trying to build up people who are doing a terrible job. You have to become very, very discerning, and you have to learn who you can trust and who you can't. Well, you can certainly trust our guest this morning, Joel Scousen. I've known him for many years. He's done a great job, and he is doing a great job. Joel, would you like to tell our listeners how they could get a copy of your publication and possibly be subscribed to it?
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. My World Affairs Brief comes out every Friday. It's a I give an in-depth commentary of the major issues of news, such as we're talking about today. People can get a free sample issue by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. That's editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. And if they forget that, they can go to the website, worldaffairsbrief.com, and it tells them how to do that right on the front page synopsis of the current brief. Also on my website, I showcase a lot of archival material about cover-ups. That's my specialty, is showing how cover-ups are indications that there is, in fact, a dark side of government that conspires to take away liberty. Also, I have written in a former career several books on preparedness, including The Secure Home and Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places, and I'm happy to announce that Radio Liberty carries those books, so you can get them at my website, or you can support Dr. Stan's work by ordering them from Radio Liberty. What is that 800 number, Stan?
1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, and once again, the names of the books that people can get?
The Secure Home, which is 700 pages chock full of everything about how to prepare a residence or retreat for high security and complete self-sufficiency. It covers solar, generators, water power, wind power, high security construction, safe rooms, all of those things. The other book is The Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places. That's pretty self-explanatory. And the third book is How to Implement a High Security Shelter in the Home. Full architectural drawings on how to build a safe room within a home.
And certainly we recommend the books. We carry the books at 1-800-544-8927. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, we're moving into a very, very dangerous time in the history of our nation. They're turning the prisoners loose here in California. Violent criminals would be turning loose. Why would anybody in their right mind do that? Well, we know what happened over in Iran in 1979. CIA put pressure on the Shah to open the prisons and turn the prisoners loose, and it created a chaotic situation, at least in part responsible for the fall of the government over there. Why would people be turning prisoners, violent prisoners, loose in California? Oh, shucks, we just don't have the money to keep them in jail. What's it going to mean? Well, I think we're going to be entering a period of chaos and crisis here in the United States, and you better start being prepared for it. So let's go ahead with the rest of the story, Joel.
Well, I was talking about Scott Horton's commentary on the Hutterite militia. He said, of course, they had plans to lure cops into various ambushes in furtherance of their plan for a war against the Antichrist. Well, you know, they were also making statements that this was going to precipitate a mass uprising among people to start a revolution. Well, anyone on the legitimate constitutional conservative right knows just how small and mild-mannered a minority we really are. This claim is patently ridiculous, that there would be an instant surge and an uprising for revolution. And it indicates either utter stupidity or gross deception on their part, especially if they thought killing an innocent policeman would engender any kind of sympathetic support from our kinds of people. And it would not. Well, of course, all the rest of the militias are telling the press they had nothing to do with the accused, which is quite true, but that didn't stop CNN and the ever-present right-wing bashing Southern Poverty Law Conference from beating the drums of universal condemnation for the entire militia movement and the right-wing Tea Party movement in general. Having long considered them trouble, you know, they reportedly even refused, militias refused the Huttery sanctuary once the arrest began. So Horton gives several examples, for example, how the federal government have this pattern established. They find a person or small group of people who are gullible, low-educated, bordering on criminal, and then they trick them into saying or sometimes even doing stupid or evil things. For example, there was the case of the Miami 7. Court records released since the prosecution suggest that Prosecutor Gonzalez described what he described as a deadly plot was virtually merely a pipe dream of a few frustrated men who had no ability to pull off anything on their own. And the suspects have raised questions in court about the FBI informant's role in keeping the plan alive, even when they didn't want to go through with it. The efforts are complicated by the Bureau's frequent use of informants who sometimes play an active role in the plotting. In the Miami 7 case, the defense showed that the FBI investigation itself found there were absolutely no evidence that his client had ever had any real terrorist, had met with any real terrorist, had never received any emails or wire transfers from the Middle East, never possessed any al-Qaeda literature, or even had a picture of bin Laden. And this is the ones they prosecuted as the Miami 7. It was a setup. I mean, sure, these guys were frustrated Muslims, who groused about the government and 9/11 and all other kinds of things, but it took an agent provocateur to put action to their words. Same thing with the Detroit Five. A former federal prosecutor and the State Department of State special agent were indicted by a federal grand jury in 2006. For charges of conspiracy, obstruction of justice, and making false declarations in the 2003 terrorism trial of United States versus Cubriti. Then in Lodi, California, the prosecution and the judge prohibited veteran FBI agent James Wettick, Jr. from testifying before the defense about the skewed way in which confessions were extracted. James Wettick was fighting for a chance to testify, and of course he lost that battle because the prosecution stood up and called him a hired gun for the defense and said that any criticisms about the investigation by the FBI would only confuse the jury and waste the court's time. The judge bought that and refused to let him testify. I mean, it was incredible. James Wettick described in detail to the defense how this video confession, which was a seven-hour video, took 7 hours to get these confessions. He talks about each hour what happened, the yawns, the cigarette breaks, the candy breaks, the food breaks, the exhaustion. They weren't getting anywhere. He said the witness never did renounce his denials and tell all as what they call the free fall, when suddenly a witness who's reluctant suddenly changes over and starts to tell everything. He said that never
came. Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Joel Skousen.
If
This is George Flynn. For several years, I was privileged to host the Words of Freedom show here on KHNC. If you've been wanting a Colorado or Wyoming concealed carry permit or non-resident Utah or Florida permit, please note that I've been a firearms instructor since the 1970s and currently conduct concealed carry classes under the banner of Self-Defense Guns. Please visit our website, selfdefenseguns.com, or call 970-622-2091. That's 970-622-2091.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245. Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
Well, I just stand back here at American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Joel Skousen, the last segment of our program. And Joel is talking about the use of agent provocateurs with gullible sets of perhaps Muslims or others. But right now the emphasis is the war on terrorism. We're fighting terrorism to protect the American people. But all of these so-called terrorist groups that threatened America have been infiltrated by FBI agents. Many times the FBI agents are supplying the explosives, the ability to build the bombs. Sometimes they're even offering to pay the Muslims if they'll go along with these terrorist activities. So you pick up the story.
Well, we're talking about the testimony of James Wettick, a longtime FBI agent who was testifying for the defense in the Lodi, California, case against a supposed Al-Qaeda terrorist. This was a young fellow who had gone to Afghanistan, who was a disgruntled Muslim here in the United States. But he said, with each new revelation in the so-called confession tape, every dramatic turn in the story, it was coming from the mouths of the agents first and not the actual accused. Rather than ask Hayat to describe what happened, they were describing what happened to him and then taking his uh-huh and uh-hums as solemn declarations of confessions. He was so open to suggestion that the camp in Afghanistan, which he visited, went from being a village to mud huts to building the size of the Arco Arena, depending on what they suggested to him. His fellow trainees at first were numbered 35, then 50, then 200. This doesn't sound like a credible testimony. He couldn't... You know, the story couldn't keep straight. It kept agreeing to anything that the agents would say. It was first run by a political camp, then it was a religious school, then it was run by his uncle, and then his grandfather, and yes, it was Al-Qaeda. The camp's location was all over the map, according to the video. First it was in Afghanistan, then Kashmir, then a village in Pakistan called Balakot. As for weapons training, the camp owned one pistol, two rifles, and a knife to cut vegetables. So much for this, you know, credible testimony. When the video ended, Wettick called, picked up the phone and called defense attorney Johnny Griffin and said, he said, normally I'd be hesitant about taking on my own FBI office, especially since my wife still works there. He says, but Johnny, this is the sorriest interrogation, the sorriest confession I've ever witnessed. And that's when he decided to go and become a witness for the defense in this. Well, He never got the chance because the prosecution and the judge kept his testimony from going before the jury, and they convicted this guy. Well, these people certainly do have frustrations. Every one of these people, you know, were open to the suggestions and eventually were talked into agreeing to illegal acts. There's no question about that. The problem is we have agent provocateurs doing everything they can, but, you know, force them to go through with it, you know, to accomplish this. And this, none of these terrorist prosecutions, whether Miami, Detroit, or New York, or Lodi, California, would have ever resulted in any terrorist attacks were it not for the presence of these agent provocateurs paid for by our own government. Of course, radical left lesbian CNN commentator Rachel Maddow was beside herself with glee at the prospect of these citizens being tried for seditious conspiracy, and so were several other CNN commentaries. It's interesting, they're one channel apart on my cable television shows, and one channel is Fox News, which you know, has everything pro-Bush, pro-war on terror, and then everything you know, anti the conservative on the CNN channel, and it's kind of hard to tell which one is worse. I mean, they're both distorting their own positions and hyping the news in an entertaining fashion rather than being very, very assiduous about telling the truth. And that's, you know, the reason why we're on the air, Dr. Stan, to try to put some truth back into this. Of course, Sir Rachel Maddow had, and everyone on CNN had Mark Plotuk, the Southern Lobby conference lawyer who claims that any American who thinks the government has an agenda to take down liberty is a legitimate target for law enforcement surveillance. He's the one, Southern Poverty Law Conference, who keeps pushing these reports on law enforcement treating right-wing people as terrorists, and they were just having a heyday. He was saying, I told you so, I told you so. You know, this is a prophecy that we have, you know, documented. These people are dangerous. And he was painting the whole movement black, and Rachel Maddow, and, you know, was going right along with it. So this is typical of what's happening. This is even happening at military bases. In 1997, William Norman Grigg talks about the report by Robert Kaplan. He was an author who was at Fort Leavenworth for a combat training program, and he heard discussions talking about Posse Comitatus and how a Marine major was whipping up discontent among people, talking about how there was a domestic terrorist threat, and how he was getting everyone ready, you know, to say we've got to overturn Posse Comitatus and we've got to use the military against domestic dissident groups. And he got other people going along. In the strictest sense, said Grigg, this was a treasonable utterance, a threat by people in the position with means to carry it out, to wage war against the people of the United States just because they were against government tyranny. He says, when such talk reflects the shared opinion of armed functionaries of the state, people with access to the largest and most destructive arsenal ever assembled, this is a sober, responsible discussion of Homeland Security or affairs, but it's apparently public policy for the government to wage war against the citizenry, but it's an illegal act for the citizens to resist illegal federal opposition. So that's the state that we're in. Another story in today's World Affairs Brief is the fact that Judge Lamberth lets the Fed off the hook again. I think this is a very important story. I remember when I was in Washington, D.C. in the mid-1980s as editor of the Conservative Digest, I used to relish the way that Judge Lamberth would stand up to the Feds. He seemed to be the only one that Larry Klayman of Judicial Watch could go to in the federal district courts of Washington, D.C. to get a favorable ruling against the government. But I began to notice over the years that Lamberth never held anyone accountable. And the Feds obviously knew that it was just all talk. That's why Judge Lamberth was appointed, I think, to the top secret FISA court, which covers for the Feds' illegal surveillance program.
Well, we're out of time. Thanks very much, Joel. Look forward to talking to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Stan.
Your family deserves wholesome organic food, and you shouldn't have to drive across town or spend all of your hard-earned cash to get it. Door to Door Organics brings you fresh organic fruits, vegetables, and groceries delivered straight to your door at a price you can afford. It's simple, convenient, affordable, and healthy. For delivery throughout Colorado, Michigan, the East Coast, and Kansas City, go to DoorToDoorOrganics.com. For $5 off your first order, use the coupon code 1360. That's DoorToDoorOrganics.com. Eat better, shop less.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network. The Brush Housing Authority in Brush reminds listeners to spend more time with an elderly member of our community. What better way to show you care than to remember a family member, friend, or neighbor? Checking on their welfare, making a phone call, or a simple visit can make all the difference in the quality of their life. This message was courtesy of the folks who care at Brush Housing Authority, who say our area is a great place to live, work, and raise our families, and they're doing their part to keep it that way. That's the Brush Housing Authority. For more information on programs, call 970-482-5046. 970-482-5046.
Well, I'm Dan here at the American Freedom Network, and I hope you enjoyed our interview with Joel Skousen. He was just commenting on Judge Lamberth, who always comes out on the right side of the issue, putting government down, actually being very critical of what the government does. But as Joel said, it soon became obvious that Judge Lamberth always says the right thing, but doesn't do anything about it. Nobody is ever held responsible. Government violates the law, and nothing is ever done. It's almost as if this is all a setup to give the people the idea, see, you can get an honest ruling from our courts. But, of course, it doesn't accomplish anything. The criminal element of government is allowed to continue. I think it's a very astute observation on Joel's part. He is certainly one of the best observers we have. I recommend his newsletter to you. I read it every week. So then, of course, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. And if you're in a position to help us, we'd love to hear from you. I know many people are having real problems these days, and we understand that. If you're not able to help, at least please pray for our provision and our protection. As Radio Liberty reaches out across America on 60 different radio outlets somewhere in this country every single week. So I would like to expand, and if we had the resources, we would. But right now, we just want to maintain what we have. A lot of ministries are having problems, and certainly they're worthy of your support. Well, please, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. You need to hear our talk on the Forbidden Secret, the Financial Armageddon, the World Revolution, Iraq, the Untold Story. Now, Iraq, the Untold Story, and many of the others come with syllabuses you want to get. The Iraq, the Untold Story syllabus is very important because it explains how they get us into wars, how they got us into a war in Iraq, having nothing to do with Saddam Hussein, having nothing to do with weapons of mass destruction. We wanted to be able to keep our troops permanently stationed there. We have almost 200,000 troops in the Middle East today, and they're there in preparation for the coming war with Iran. It's only a matter of time, and this is going to have a devastating effect on America. So you better begin preparing for the difficult times that lie ahead. Understand how they get us into war, and that is the subject of Iraq, the untold story. And be sure to get the syllabus along with it. The two go together. So then, of course, we do hope that many of you out there will want to help. We do have some health products. One's called Prostate Support for men over 60 who are having prostate symptoms. Another is called Menopause Support for women who are going through that difficult change of life. So these are produced by a very well-known national, in fact, probably the largest producer of health food products in the country, but they're labeled under the RL label because we can't market their products, but they're a good Christian company. We enjoy working with them. Our number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. We do carry the Miracle 2 soap products, and certainly we hope that you'll go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, watch our videos, watch our other videos section, read our newsletters, and then please pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and protection. Until Monday, may the Lord be with you.